Hey, it's Steven. In case you missed the news, we've brought in the Art of CX podcast team with host Nick Wood to bring you Customer Corner, our new series of unplugged conversations on the challenges and transformations going on in the corner offices of the world from the folks sitting at the desk. To help you get a feel for the great conversations they'll be bringing to the show, we're rebroadcasting the first season of the Art of CX, which, admittedly, wasn't all customer focused, right here on our channel. It's exciting stuff, and if you enjoy this conversation, be sure to subscribe so you can receive notifications as new episodes of the Customer Corner series are released. Here's episode one, Mindful Puzzling. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome to The Art of CX, the podcast that brings you colorful insights into how businesses are painting their very own picture of customer experience, presented by SAP. My name is Nick Wood, and hosting this first official and actual episode with me is my dear colleague and also manager, Tanya van Soest, Chief Storyteller. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, good morning. Good day, Nick.
Thanks for joining me. Not only for our first proper, I like to call it episode, but also for the first part of our coronavirus mini-series. Some of you might be sick and tired of it, but as a customer experience podcast, we can't simply ignore a pandemic that is affecting so many businesses around the globe. But I promise, we promise, we won't be talking about any numbers. We'll find an alternative perspective, be assured. And having said that, Tanya, how are you keeping? What have you been up to? How is your son dealing with you having around all day?
Well, it's certainly been challenging. Obviously, it's been a major pivot to all be working at home and sharing the same Wi-Fi bandwidth, which is some days better than others. We're fortunate to have a little garden that we can get some fresh air in, and that's helped a lot, especially with a young child. But I would say that, you know, we've adjusted more or less. Some days, again, are better than others. But there's been a lot of positive as well. You know, the increased family time has actually been really, really lovely. And, you know, getting creative and bringing out activities that are normally kept for, you know, holiday time or summer vacation, it's actually been really nice.
That's great. And well, let's say the days aren't quite so sunny and you want to spend some family time. What about jigsaw puzzles and board games? Do you like them? When was the last time you did one or played a game?
Well, actually, we have one still going, a very large one that's taken over my dining room table. And so puzzles have been part of my life since I was a kid. My father is also in the process of doing a second one right now, despite the fact that it's hurting his back a little bit. He's quite elderly, but he's very dedicated to getting his puzzle complete and loves the process. So it's a family, I would say it's a family activity that we love to do.
Now, isn't this a marvelous coincidence that the first customer to feature on the Art of CX is Ravensburger, market leader in the European jigsaw puzzle market and well-known publisher of board games and children's books? Welcome, Thomas Bleier, Head of Corporate Development at Ravensburger Group. Thomas has been Head of Corporate Development for 3 years now in his past. He's also Founder and Managing Director of Ravensburger Digital for more than 7 years. And he's also worked as a venture capital investor and co-founded two digital startups and also worked together with them. Thomas, have we missed anything? Tell us a bit about yourself. Welcome to our show.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, Nick. Hi, Tanya.
Hi.
Pleasure to be here and thanks for having me. And thank you for the kind introduction. And that's, you've outlined the business part, which of course is, you know, central, for the conversation today, but also, there's some things around the business, that I like to spend a little time and energy on, including lecturing at university and lecturing and giving seminars around the topic of conscious leadership and mindfulness, which we may touch on a little later, which I think is something very important to bring into the business context.
We certainly will touch that topic, because especially in these times, I think that's very interesting and probably also important. But let's tick this one box. We have to talk about Ravensburger in the time of this pandemic. Now, mm-hmm. Of course, a lot of businesses are struggling. Others are doing quite well, maybe even better than under normal circumstances. And Ravensburger is lucky enough to be on the positive side of this equation. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, in one way, yes. But it's really, you know, for us, as for many businesses, it's been a very challenging time. And in an odd way, it's a very, you know, it's very kind of a black and white picture. On the one hand, we do, and, you know, we just heard from Tanya in the introduction. And I think what she said about her family and jigsaw puzzles and board games for spending some of this lockdown time together in a nice way, that counts for many, many families out there. And many people in these times are kind of turning back to those beloved products, you know, playing a board game together, doing a jigsaw puzzle together. So there's strongly increasing demand, and we're very glad that we have products to offer that are meaningful and helpful and joyful for people these days. On the other hand, our customers are the retailers, and in many countries, you know, the retailers were forced to close down, especially many of the smaller shops are having a very hard time coping with the lockdown situation. And as we sell not only online, but also through retailers, you know, many of our distribution channels have been shut down effectively. So it's kind of a very extreme situation where you have this big demand on the one hand, but really having this challenge of getting the products to the consumers. We're doing a lot of online business, direct-to-consumer business, but that's not all. And that's been a challenge for us, but we're working hard to cope with it as good as we can.
Are you offering any special services to your customers to overcome this challenge?
Yeah, I mean, as we said, we're working with all our customers that are able to do business. We've supported smaller retailers, giving webinars about online business, trying to deliver to all the channels, whether it's supermarkets or drugstores or, you know, what have you. All the way down to us to independent toy retailers, and just, you know, trying to cope with the logistics and service the demand, which openly said we're not always able to do. The demand is more than we can deliver at this time. So it's just trying to make sure that our customers can do business as much as possible.
And what would you say, this is actually a question that might be leading to our mindfulness topic already. What's the atmosphere like within Ravensburger, within the company?
I think it's tense in a way, but in a positive sense, I think there's really an awesome kind of fighting spirit, I would say, to really stand together and go the extra mile to keep things running, with lots of people working from home, with our colleagues in the factory, you know, on the front line to, you know, stick it out and be there and make those products and get them shipped out, working extra shifts. You know, we work double shifts on weekends. So it's really been, you know, putting all things aside and just focusing on the absolute core business and getting stuff done and getting product shipped out to those customers who really want it and really appreciate those products. And it's been awesome to see that, how, you know, what's possible even under these circumstances. Very encouraging in a way, but pretty stressful.
Yeah, I can imagine. It must be tough times for everyone, no matter what business and how things are going, but there's definitely a change happening everywhere at the moment.
I have a question actually for Thomas, if you don't mind, before we proceed. In terms of the increasing demand that we've seen for puzzles, what do you think it's attributed to exactly? Why puzzles?
Yeah, I think it's like a almost like a rediscovery, right? Many of us know jigsaw puzzling from our childhood, and you know, some kind of stuck with it and kept it as their hobby. So it's not necessarily something you talk about at a dinner party, right? It's not exactly seen as something maybe super exciting, but you'll be surprised how many people enjoy doing it. And in these times where many of us are, you know, forced to stay home, and at the same time, you know, you don't want to stay in front of a screen all the time. You have that during your working day, and then yes, you at nighttime you might want to watch a movie, but for yourself and especially for the kids, you do want some quality time and some relaxation that's away from a screen. And that's what many people appreciate. It's kind of a relaxing, on the one hand, silently focused, but also kind of relaxing and almost meditative exercise to do a jigsaw puzzle. That's something that helps you kind of, you know, forget the stress out there and all the tension that might have been at home and at work. And that's what many people appreciate.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that something like jigsaw puzzle making or knitting or baking or crafting, which we're also seeing a resurgence of, can help people kind of disconnect from the chatter, the mind chatter, and get into the flow. And I think, you know, having that zone where you sort of disconnect a little bit from time, it's less structured, and it allows you to just sort of be with yourself, be with a tactile experience. I personally find that incredibly relaxing, and especially now, not as easy to come by. You know, we almost need a vehicle through which to sort of help us get into that zone a little bit more now than ever.
Yeah, that's, I find it a very nice way to phrase it, being in the zone, because it for me, it means this wonderful combination of, on the one side, being very focused on concentrated on something, but on the other side, being very relaxed and not under tension in doing that.
Exactly.
And that's a wonderful place to be. And if you can find a you know, something to do to get you there, that's very valuable these days. Yeah.
And how interesting that as the leader of a large corporation, who's also very interested in and plugged into mindfulness communities and organizations, and obviously, you know, very committed and passionate about the topic, that you find yourself working in and for a company that produces a product that I would say supports that mindset very nicely. Is this just by chance? Is this something that just a happy irony, or was this a conscious choice?
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that. It's you know, we've spoken about this internally quite a lot with this topic of mindfulness kind of becoming more of a broader topic over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, I would say. We've never labeled or positioned our products as having, you know, a relation to that. But when you look at how it's experienced and what our customers and users and players and puzzles, what type of experience they actually get out of it, there's actually some really neat similarity there. And I think, you know, makes us all the more happy to see that this is part of the value that we can actually deliver to our customers.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Before we go deeper into the topic of mindfulness, could you perhaps explain for those who aren't familiar with this approach what mindfulness means in this context? How would you explain, I read something about this, the topic for a mindful dummy?
I would explain it the same to anyone, whether expert or dummy. And I think it's wonderfully simple, actually. I mean, usually, you know, mindfulness is described as a state of being simply present and aware of what is happening right here, right now. You know, being aware of yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, and your environment, and doing so with an attitude of curiosity and kindness towards yourself and others, and openness. And that's it pretty much. You know, as simple as it sounds, it's hard to experience it. But that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. I would agree. I would echo that. I think it's, mindfulness is a practice of presence, of being present in your body. I was actually thinking as you were speaking, Thomas, that maybe a more articulate way of describing what mindfulness is it's less about the mind and more about, like, you know, being in the body, being in the heart. But I'm not sure if we can, if we're here to rename mindfulness as heartfulness or bodiness, or anyway, yeah. What I'm trying to articulate is that it's more about coming into the body and sort of disconnecting from the mind, as much as possible.
In any case, it's certainly more about being rather than doing or thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Have we lost Nick?
Sorry, no. I was waiting for you to carry on that time. I was so fascinated listening that I totally missed my cue.
Right. Well, I'm happy to add some more to it, but I think that simple explanation nails it on the head. The only thing that I might add is that mindfulness for me anyway is a practice. It's a mental hygiene practice. And it's, you know, your brain or your ability to sit and be present, you know, to Thomas's point, is not always as easily attainable as we may think. You know, like training anything, training your attention is something that does take, I think, a certain practice and a certain dedication to get good at.
Training attention takes a certain practice. Well, I can relate to that, as you just have noticed. No, I was paying attention. I was paying too much attention.
Good.
But let's quickly moving on. Thomas, tell us a bit about how you discovered this topic.
It's really been, you know, part of my life for a very long time. I wouldn't want to retell that whole story. But I think the key thing is that it's been an integral part of life for me. The interesting, and it's, you know, probably for many people, but the interesting thing that we see is in, you know, the last couple of years that more and more people start to be a bit more outspoken about it, and I would include myself in those people. And more businesses kind of turn their attention to the topic and become open to it. So those two worlds, which, you know, maybe used to be a bit more separate, are kind of more interconnected, and the topic comes more into the business world, which is, you know, something very wonderful to see and very beneficial for businesses and business people in many ways.
Talking of which, you do have a mindfulness connection with SAP. That's right, isn't it?
That's right. I'm part of a group called the Mindful Leadership Circle, which is an open network of, you know, leaders, executives, professionals from all different, you know, walks of life and companies and businesses. And that includes, you know, colleagues from SAP as well. And through this, you know, we're in touch with the mindfulness initiative, the mindfulness program at SAP, which is from, when you look at the corporate world, I think, among the most, impressive and certainly among the largest corporate mindfulness initiatives, worldwide. I actually had the pleasure of participating in one of the in-house trainings at SAP and found it very inspiring around the topic of mindfulness-based emotional intelligence. super valuable tools and knowledge and techniques there to integrate into business life that are being transmitted. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. As someone who personally, like yourself, Thomas, is interested in mindfulness and enjoys it as a practice in my life, I found it particularly refreshing to find myself, and this was a happy coincidence, working in an organization as large as SAP, and discovering that they had this mindfulness program, that we even have a chief mindfulness officer, and a dedicated line of business practice whereby we do offer the mindfulness training to our customers and also internally to employees. I think, you know, as you know, someone working in large enterprise, I haven't always felt like there was room to bring mindful ideas or practices into the workplace. I almost felt it was stigmatized in a way, and that this was sort of my own private practice that didn't have a place in the corporate world. And to see this modeled at the very highest levels of such a large organization and to speak with leaders such as yourself, I find it incredibly inspiring, but also wonderfully validating that this is a practice that I, you know, people and companies are becoming more, in recognition of its benefits. And, you know, the research around mindfulness, you know, in terms of what it can do for our overall health and wellness and well-being, and how that translates into whether family, your community, but also your company, is coming, you know, more to the forefront and has really surfaced. And I'm so proud of the fact that, you know, the likes of SAP and Ravensburger and many other companies, as you know, are really supporting this integration of mindful practice and conscious leadership in their organization. And maybe this is a good place to bridge the conversation into that topic more specifically. I'm curious, as a mindful leader, how would you say that translates into conscious leadership? So how does your mindful practice translate into conscious leadership? And how does that impact how you work and how your teams work, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, I would answer that just from a very personal perspective, just, you know, based on my own humble experience, I would say that mindfulness is kind of a basis. It's not a management skill, right? It's not a management tool or a quick fix for anything. But it's kind of a super valuable and effective long-term basis to develop certain skills and characteristics that are, you know, now more than ever needed to be an effective and successful leader. And if you look at all the research around the topic, you know, there's increasing research and evidence and support for those effects of a mindfulness practice and for cultivating mindfulness. You know, in this environment that we live in, people are really seeing that a new type of leadership skills are needed to be successful, you know, including fundamental traits like resilience, like, you know, leadership with a service attitude, integrity, high degree of focus and stress resilience, higher degree of creativity and the ability to be flexible and innovative and work in an agile mode. You know, it's all those things that you demand nowadays from leaders. And looking at that list, you could step back as an executive and say, oh, goodness, you know, how am I supposed to be all that? Yeah. We're not superheroes. So much is expected from all of us. Right. Especially working in a fast moving environment, also like yours in the tech industry. So I just found, and the research seems to support that, ever more strongly, that as a basic practice, developing mindfulness, developing consciousness serves as a fertile ground on which these qualities can then grow and then really help you to be a more successful and effective leader in that sense with the skills that are now needed in the 21st century.
Wonderfully put. And how would you say your teams and your organization, your peers within Ravensburger have responded to an increasingly conscious style of leadership?
I think, again, that that's, I would answer that from a very kind of subjective point of view, and everyone has their own take on it. Though speaking with colleagues, I know that, you know, many are open for the topic. Some have their own kind of practice. A colleague of mine has recently started an in-house course that he's now offering on mindfulness and meditation, open to other employees, which I find is a wonderful initiative. So as a company, we're not even yet that far in terms of, like, you know, we're nowhere near SAP when it comes to publicly promoting the program and having a very professional and large scale program. But I think if you look at an overall development, you'll see in our firm, as in many other businesses, there's more and more people who are open for the topic, more and more people who you know, practice it, speak about it. And it's part of just a general beneficial development.
Sure. And how would you say then, last question on this topic, I'm going to let Nick come back in. How would you say that a growing awareness around mindfulness and conscious leadership has impacted the way that you do business or the way that you engage with customers, or even does it inform, you know, or influence business decisions in your personal experience?
In my personal experience, I would definitely say so. You know, working in corporate development, mergers and acquisitions and investments, obviously, you know, can be fast paced, intense when a project is hot and, you know, trying to do a deal and all the good stuff comes together, you know, stress, emotions, lots of money is at stake, pressure, you know. And in those moments, I find it extremely valuable to be able to relate to myself and to others in a more reflective way, in a mindful way, in the true essence of the word. Mm-hmm. And I find that it makes me more effective, and I'm able to deal with the stress and the pressure a lot better. And I think that's not only for my own benefit, but also to the benefit of those around me.
Right.
And I think I end up being a better executive that way, and better able to serve my company.
Right.
So that's definitely my personal take on it. Mm-hmm.
I'd love to know if you have any tips or guidance, or maybe I know we'll be putting a lot of links in the show notes to provide further resources to our listeners. But I imagine that even with a regular practice around mindfulness, such as the one that you have, that times such as these, you know, call upon us to elevate our hygiene practices, whether they know that's mental hygiene or physical hygiene in terms of exercise. I'm assuming, because we're all in the same boat, that has also been the case for you. And maybe how have you adjusted or elevated your practice in light of these times?
Yeah, for me, I can definitely say that the routine of the practice is absolutely, you know, fundamental, something that helps me to get my day started in a more reflected and relaxed and healthy way, and being able to be focused and get on with my things, and not let myself be emotionally carried away by, you know, all the concerns and the fear and the worry. That's still there, and you know, you have to accept it and acknowledge it, but you don't have to kind of be emotionally hijacked by that.
Yes.
So that's what I find is extremely helpful. And I'm certain that, you know, it helps me cope a lot better with the situation in doing that daily practice. And I guess the one thing around that topic is that I would say is that I could only encourage anyone interested in it to try out different things. I mean, there's so many different approaches to mindfulness and meditation and practice. Mm. It's not a one size fits all. There are certain practices these days which are very commonly taught, but there's so many ways to that. I'd really encourage you, you know, try out many different things and see what you like and see what sticks and that you can develop a routine around.
This is incredibly interesting. And I hate to have to cut you off here at this point because we're reaching the end of our show, especially because this mindfulness approach just seems as a very useful way to deal with the situation we're all finding us in at the moment. That's why I just can recommend to everyone listening, look into mindfulness, follow the links in our show notes. Thomas has also published various articles on this topic, so read through those. One last question, and I'll leave it up to you if you want to relate it to COVID-19 or not, but what will the future bring for you and Ravensburger? What's the next big puzzle you're going to solve?
Well, I think, you know, we've got our hands full dealing with the situation now. If we can all together get, you know, successfully through that and adjust to that often quoted new normal, and if, you know, we just continue to be able to deliver good quality products that make people's lives a little bit more a little bit nicer and a little bit easier to go along with in this situation, then that's already a great achievement. And we'll just continue to do that and as good as we can. And I think that's the best we can do.
Definitely, great. Definitely. Certainly made me want to do a puzzle again. I haven't done one in a long time, I must admit. But
well, it's about time then.
yes, certainly. Thomas, thank you so much for taking the time to come on our show and speak about what your company is doing at the moment and also about mindfulness. And that's already all we have for this first episode.
If you want to learn more about this topic and our guests, check out the show notes where you can find relevant links. Also, if you enjoyed the conversation, once again, be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you can receive notifications as new episodes of the Customer Corner series are released. Thanks for joining. We'll see you next time.